So how has COVID-19 and the new restrictions of COVID-19 changed your day-to-day operations?
Everything has been changing regularly throughout this past year. Early on, you know, of course, like the rest of folks in March, we went into lockdown and many of our staff started working remotely from home, but not all, because of course we have staff who work in the transition houses and in the shelter. And so those were continuing to be staffed on site, and we needed to make sure that we could keep those staff and clients safe. So like everyone, we are scrambling to find protective personal equipment for everyone, finding masks and cleaning equipment. And that was a scramble, as it was for lots of other folks. You know, moving administrative folks and management and stuff back into working from home meant making sure that we had the equipment that they needed to be able to connect and to be able to continue to do their work. So that took us through the spring. And one thing that maybe surprised us initially was our calls, our crisis calls from women who were suffering from domestic abuse or violent situations. Those crisis calls went down, and that was quite a concern. It's like, what's going on? This doesn't seem to make sense initially. We quickly clued in that what it meant, of course, was that when all of us were being instructed to stay home to be safe from the virus, it meant that women and children who were home with an abuser were now in a more unsafe situation. Mm-hmm. It meant often that the women couldn't call for help because they couldn't get a private moment away from someone who was now locked down at home with them. That was quite scary. It also meant that when women could reach out, they were in a more desperate situation, because of how things, you know, the tension and stress that everyone was feeling. Of course, when you've got an abusive partner, all of that is elevated as well. So in the summer, when restrictions eased, that's when we started to hear from more women reaching out. And we learned that, unfortunately, the violence they'd been experiencing was much more severe, probably because of the added stress and of being locked down with the partner. Our shelter and transition homes were operating at capacity with people who had managed to get out and seek refuge. And now, of course, into the fall, we've all moved back into tighter restrictions. And so we are concerned again about the situation for the women who can't call for help. There have been a few things that you may have seen through social media trying to draw attention to this. One is to be paying attention when you're doing video calls with people for signs where a woman might be suffering and are calling out for help. The irony of being told to stay home to be safe for them, it was the exact opposite, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the next topic I wanted to actually cover. How have you tried to reach out to assist those victims?
Us and a number of other agencies like us have been trying to get the word out through social media that we're still here. We'll do whatever we can to support you. We have outreach workers who are going out into places like the homeless camps in Abbotsford and Mission to find the women who might be in those camps. We have seen the levels of violence in the homeless camps increase. And again, you know, this past year has been really stressful for everyone. And I would say that when someone is in a relationship with an abusive partner, that the worldwide pressure that we're all in this pandemic has unfortunately exacerbated the abuse for a lot of them. So our outreach workers have been going out and regularly checking in with the women they know in the camps and trying to offer them opportunities to get away if that's what they want, or connect them with services. We also have a program called Pregnancy Outreach, and that's where our outreach worker connects with women who are pregnant or have new babies to provide them with support. And it used to be before the pandemic that outreach worker would host events at our facilities where the moms would come with their babies and we'd have a childcare worker with the babies so that the moms could connect with the worker and get some support. They would do some education around healthy eating and shopping and that sort of thing. And we can't do those during the pandemic. We can't bring people together in one space. So our outreach worker has actually been going out to the women's homes, delivering supplies, whether that's diapers, formula, car seats, things like that, going directly to the women to provide support. And when she's doing that, she's checking in on them and how are they doing health-wise, particularly mental health-wise, and again, connecting them with supports. So sometimes it's a matter of reaching people through social media. Sometimes it's going out into homeless camps. Other times it's going directly to people's homes to provide supports.
I want to ask you about the cultural breakdown of what you're seeing. Are you seeing other ethnic groups reaching out to you, like South Asian women, or is it a majority white-based operation?
Unfortunately, domestic abuse knows no cultural barrier. It spreads across cultures. And that is why we have staff in our outreach program. We also have multicultural outreach workers. And so we are able to offer services in a number of languages. We do have Punjabi-speaking workers, particularly in Abbotsford. We have a lot of Punjabi-speaking women on the outreach workers' caseloads, where the outreach worker is able to support the woman in her own language, which is particularly helpful. We found early in the pandemic, everyone was applying for the various supports and benefits like the CERB and wage subsidies and rent relief and that sort of thing. And if English is not your first language, those are really challenging systems to work with. Our multicultural outreach workers were spending a lot of time helping women connect to services where our workers were being the go-between, doing translation and helping women walk through all of those various government and bureaucratic systems. But no, I would say that every cultural group, ethnic group is represented, unfortunately, in the numbers around domestic violence.
If somebody wanted to get in touch during the COVID-19 pandemic, what are the different ways that they could actually go about accessing your resources if they're potentially in a home where it's hard to make calls and do things like that?
Yeah, for sure. So our website is pretty simple. It's Sarah for Women. That's Sarah, S-A-R-A-F-O-R, women.ca, Sarah for Women. Go to the website and then click on contact. And it brings up all the numbers to reach out. So someone can send an email through the page or reach out directly. And there are, if you sort of scroll down the page, there's transition houses and safe refuge. And there are two 24-hour phone numbers that access our Mission and Abbotsford transition houses. And there would be a worker who would answer that crisis call, listen to what is going on for the woman, and then be able to either say, this is where our transition house is, come to us, or the worker goes to them and meets them somewhere. The Mission number, 24-hour number, is 604-826-7800. And the Abbotsford number is 604-852-6008. And there is a Sarah for Women staff person who will answer that call no matter when that phone rings and connect with the woman and try to connect her to services immediately and try and get her safe refuge right away. There's other things listed on that website depending on what someone might be looking for, but those are the 24-hour crisis call numbers. That being said, I would say that if someone is in a life-threatening situation, don't waste time looking up our website and trying to find that number. Call 911 and get some folks to you right away. We don't want to delay in getting a response out in an urgent situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And I want to ask you as well about eligibility requirements for people who are wanting to access these resources. Like, are there any?
No. There are none. And Sarah for Women is a women-serving organization, but by women, we say anyone who self-identifies as a woman.
So it's trans-inclusive.
Yeah.
Okay. And you mentioned children as well. So is that usually just like the dependents of these women who end up coming along?
Usually it's minors who get out of the situation with the woman. And that's often what prompts the woman to actually make the change and to get out is when the children come under threat.